When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everything from start to finish, best footballing time, period, magical.
Who put the ball in the Blackpool net?
Super Tommy Clark did.
P&E Pod.
Preston take the lead. Preston North End have won the cup.
Preston North End may have won it.
The official Preston North End podcast.
This is P&E Pod, the official podcast of the one and only Preston North End Football Club. My name's Niall McCorn.
And I'm Neil Mellor. We will be talking to some famous Preston North End former players, some famous fans, some current first team players, and a few former teammates of mine.
The best way to keep in touch with the podcast is to hit subscribe or follow wherever you listen to your shows. That way, as soon as a new episode is released, you won't miss it. And today, Mels, we've got a proper North End legend.
Absolutely. Captain, scored a famous goal, lifted trophy, and a player which many, many North End fans will remember.
In terms of modern North End icons, he's got to be up there, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. He contributed so much during a successful period for Preston North End, and you'll be made up to hear some of the stories he's got to tell us.
Hundreds of games, some massive goals, and a former captain. Here's Tom Clark. Welcome to the show, Tom Clark. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
What are we now? A few months into retirement. How are you finding it?
Yeah, strange, difficult. Obviously, I knew my knee wasn't brilliant towards the end, but obviously, I think when a surgeon sort of tells you to call it a day, it's always difficult to sort of take in. But thankfully, sort of gone straight into the sort of coaching side of it a little bit. So yeah, enjoying that.
Who put the ball in the Blackpool net?
Super Tommy Clark did.
There you go. Big smile on your face. Yeah. North End fans always say that to you.
Yeah, what a day. You know, fortunately, I was the one that headed the ball in the net and, yeah, didn't know at the time how big of a deal it was until sort of after, and still talk about it now. So, yeah, brilliant memory, one that fans keep reminding me of.
Is that your favourite P&E moment, do you think?
Yeah, I think just all of it, the timing of it. I think Blackpool were the higher division.
That doesn't happen too often.
No, exactly. So yeah, it was just nice to get one over him. Like I say, in the last minutes of the game, going into extra time, timing of it, and fans running on the pitch and people getting trampled on by horses. Yeah, it was hell of a day. My dad was there, so yeah, brilliant.
I think from a footballer's point of view, obviously people talk about winning medals and promotions, that sort of thing, but for me, it's about moments and memories. Yeah. And that's a massive one, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was probably, what was it, my second game. So yeah, again, just so fortunate that, you know, I was able to sort of get my head on it. Brilliant ball from Lee Holmes, I think it was. And yeah, just from there, really had a great relationship with the fans and sort of kicked on from there.
You signed from Huddersfield. Did you know much about P&E before you arrived, or was that game and scoring against Blackpool almost like the perfect introduction to the club?
Yeah, I sort of knew my time was coming up at Huddersfield, being there a long time, 10 years since I was eight. So yeah, it was a big decision to do. Obviously, Simon Grayson was the manager, knew him from a time at Preston. So yeah, he had a massive input in that. And then when I came to see the stadium and stuff like that, yeah, my decision was made pretty quick.
Were you always a Huddersfield fan growing up as a little lad?
I was from Halifax. Obviously, my brother Nathan played there in the academy in the first team. So just always remember ball boy and watching him play for Huddersfield. So it was always my determination really to get in the first team and play with him, which I was fortunate to do. And yeah, spent a a good time there, successful period. We got promotion. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
But who were some of the players, some of the games that you watched as a young boy wanting to be a professional footballer? Who were the ones where you're watching thinking, yeah, I want a bit of that? Some of the heroes growing up for you?
Yeah, I weren't one to sort of go to many games. Obviously, my dad, my mum worked hard. Dad was working nights. So yeah, it was difficult to get to games. So probably on that, the games at Huddersfield were the ones really. And probably no bigger inspiration than watching your brother play in the position that he was in. He broke through when he was 18. So I'd say he was a massive sort of input for me personally, growing up, having that in front of you and wanting to strive and play with him and sort of follow his footsteps really.
Before you arrived at North End, I've got to get this in, you played against me twice.
Yeah.
Once for Huddersfield.
Yeah.
And once for Leighton Orient. Do you know what your win ratio was against me?
I think we won one, Leighton Orient.
Huddersfield won, Sheffield Wednesday nil. I was at Wednesday. So yeah. You won that game.
Right.
North End, we'd won 7 in a row. We were absolutely flying. Any North End fans that went to the game. It was October. It was like 100 degrees. It was ridiculous. Yeah. We've gone 1-0 up. Cootsie scored. We're flying. We're thinking we're going to win 8 games in a row. Our goalie was injured, so we had a young kid in goal. Yeah. You ended up beating us 2-1. Greza missed the penalty. Graham Alexander missed the penalty.
Yeah, I remember it now. I think it was James.
Did you
Jones.
Give the pen away? Because I'd die for the pen.
I don't think I did. I think I rolled my ankle. So I think I were off for that bit. But yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Roasting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Red out, yeah. But good for me.
But that was before you arrived at Preston. But yeah, I mean, you had me in your back pocket.
Yeah. It's not hard. No, I enjoyed it there. A little loan spell at Leighton Orient. Just come back from an ACL. So yeah, good experience. Played some big games. Like you say, Preston, who were flying high. And obviously Greza, who don't miss pens. So yeah, it was a strange one.
19 years. This January since you signed your first professional contract, 18 years since you scored your first professional goal. Do you remember who it was against?
Having to think. You didn't score many. You didn't score many. Come on.
What were it? 25? Blackpool.
Who put the ball in the Blackpool net?
Yeah, Blackpool.
It was Blackpool.
Blackpool at home, I think, playing in midfield, box to box.
Yeah. What do you remember those early days as a professional, like signing your first contract and breaking through?
What would I have been? I think I was 17, maybe. MK Dons away, bit of a running track round it then. Just really excited. No, I just remember having no fear. Listen, it was easier because Nathan was in the first team. He was able to guide me a little bit and keep me away from causing any bother with the older lads. But to play next to him, I think I played centre-half that day with him. So really fortunate to sort of, like I say, be guided by him. And yeah, just no fear, just went into every game, enjoyed it. Just sort of an overriding feeling of enjoyment being able to come through the academy at age 8 and make your debut.
Have you always been close? Because for me, my brother was the best man at my wedding. I wonder, has that something for you?
Yeah, really close. Two older brothers, one who's completely not interested in football whatsoever. Really close to both of them. Like I said, to have that in the change room alongside is brilliant.
You must have fallen out with him though.
Yeah, there were times where, he'd let me know, especially being the younger one. And a little bit of, you need to sort of find your own feet a little bit. So he left me alone and made me them sort of bad decisions in a game or change room in training. But he always sort of kept my standards high and made sure I was, in first and sort of last away.
Is that the person you spoke to maybe most in terms of advice during your career? Because for me, it was always my dad, more so than my older brother, but was it more your brother for you?
Definitely, yeah. Like I say, he had that 4 years on me. He'd seen it all before. So yeah, he was a massive one. Obviously my dad, my mum. Coaches as well. Coaches I've had in the academies have always been a massive help.
And
still are. I'd say Chris Howarth, who I had at Huddersfield, I think he's at Sheffield United now. Massive in my sort of early upbringing in the academy, and then the likes of Peter Jackson, who gave me my debut, Terry Yorath, and going back that far, really believed me and sort of helped me keep me on, really.
Obviously, when you were at North End, made that amazing start by scoring against Blackpool. That was one of the highs, you said, but one of the other highs was probably
being part of the team, guiding the team to the playoff victory at Wembley against Swindon. So what do you remember of that?
From the beginning, really, with my time at Preston, we've always progressed. And I think we missed out on it in the playoffs the year before, which was disappointing for me because my brother was at Leighton Orient. They got through to the final. We were playing Rotherham. And they obviously got through. I was hoping both captains, both being at Wembley. Yeah. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do it. So that was another sort of kick in the teeth. And then I had to go and support Nathan at Wembley. Just unfortunate that he couldn't do it. But yeah, that next following season, good season. It was sort of a difficult end. We went to, I think it was Colchester, had to win or draw to get promoted. Couldn't do it. MK Dons was coming.
I remember because MK were chasing you all the way to the end.
And we were sort of grinding it out with 1-0s and MK were winning 3-4-0s on the every week, and they had Dele Alli scoring and sort of felt that little bit of pressure, but full confidence that we could go there and get a result, and flew there and all the family waiting for us back home. Massive kick in the teeth that we couldn't do it there, and sort of then having to pick everyone up as captain, and obviously Simon Grayson as manager. We were a young team with a little bit of experience with Beckford and Joe Garner in there.
Well, how did you do that? Because I was at the Colchester game and I remember thinking, going to beat these because they were about to get relegated. Yeah. It would be a comfortable away when you've ended up not getting promoted. You're thinking, got to do the playoffs.
Yeah.
How do you lift yourself again, knowing that the season before you'd been beaten in the playoffs and you'd been expected to go up, and then you just missed out on the last day of the season? So as the captain, as one of the leaders, I know you mentioned about the manager, what sort of things are you saying to the players there? Come up, we can do it this year. It's not going to be like last year. What sort of things?
Yeah, listen, it was hard. I remember being on the pitch when all the fans are running off. It took me 10 minutes to sort of get off the pitch. I was sat on the floor. It was difficult knowing we had Chesterfield, who were a really good team. It was difficult, but it was just trying to remain positive. I remember Simon Grayson on the bus going home, having a little chat with everyone. Real positive chat. And it's, just about lifting everyone. We knew we had a good team and we knew we could do it. It was just a case of getting over that really quick and going again, which we did.
Was that team better than the season before?
I think it was, I think we was, just with the experience of losing out that, having that, which helped, and then adding those little sort of pieces that Grayson did helped us massively.
And when you go into a final as well, you feel like it might be cagey, but then you fly into a 3-goal lead. You battered Swindon, really. So that must have been a mad feeling to have gone through all of that psychological stuff that Mels was talking about, picking yourself back up. And then you get to Wembley and you're taking this team apart.
Yeah, been to Wembley, luckily a few times. And like you said, it's always cagey. I think Huddersfield went down right down to the keepers against Sheffield United. So you go into it thinking this is going to be tough. The game plays out and I think we're 3-0, like you say, half time. They had a great chance sort of towards the end, but finals don't tend to go like that. So again, it was going in at half time, trying to keep everyone's emotions sort of down.
You must have been thinking about lifting the trophy off.
Yeah, back of my head sort of I was, and then they had the big chance and it just sort of brought me back a little bit and thought, listen, this ain't over yet. Especially in a final, you never know. But we had Beckford who was just on fire that season, really. Hardly trained. I think he broke his toe. But we weren't too bothered as long as he was producing on a weekend. And he did that second half. You're sort of thinking about then walking up the steps. And
how big a high was that?
Yeah,
that
it was up there. Like I say, I did it with Huddersfield, but I didn't play in the final. I played sort of 25 games. But as much as you don't feel part of it when you've not played in the final. So to do that and to play as many games as I did that season, 50-odd, I think, just felt a great ending.
Who was there to share it with you? And how did you celebrate that night?
Yeah, so my family, my brother, obviously Nathan, my wife, who was pregnant at the time. So it was... And the chairman at Huddersfield, actually, Dean Hoyle, who was there, whose wife's a Preston fan as well. So he had a little joke saying, obviously, at the time, he got rid of me. He sort of walking down the steps, he was like, good decision in the end, which it was. Just close family and friends.
Tell us about the party. Come on, what's going on?
Party,
the trophy's in the middle of the dance floor. Yeah. You're all dancing around.
Yeah. Do you know where we ended up? Beluga. So yeah, we're in London, lovely place, end up in Beluga, yeah. So Ty's, I don't know where Ty's gone. I know it was wrapped around my head at some point. And yeah, just, yeah, can't remember much of it. Great night, especially with the lads that you worked hard all year with.
So everyone was there, the manager, all the staff, and everyone was in there?
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, Simon Grayson, yeah, moving his hips. So yeah, it was a good day, good night all around. So yeah, I can't remember much of it, to be honest.
P&E Pod. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss an episode. P&E Pod. From legends to leaders. The best guests from inside Deepdale.
I wanted to ask you about Simon Grayson. When he came to P&E, you were his first signing for the club. I think when you went to Fleetwood, he was manager there as well. Yeah. So you obviously had quite a good relationship with him.
Yeah, no, definitely. At Huddersfield, he'd come in. I sort of felt like I was training well, but I weren't playing, and I just couldn't understand it. There was talks about a bit of a loan move and stuff like that. But I thought, no, I feel like I'm close. I want to stay in and around it, and sort of managed to sort of play 25, 30 games under him, but weren't a constant first team regular. And then obviously he got sacked, and then things changed for me there. I knew I was training well and played well in the game, so I knew he liked me. Obviously, when I spoke to him to come to Preston, knew how he worked, knew how he was as a man manager, and just, yeah, sort of jumped at the chance. And when I seen Preston and stuff, it was, yeah, no brainer.
What were some of his good team talks? What were some of the things that he'd say?
Team talks wise, he just kept it quite simple. He never overcomplicated it. And that's, again, we sort of the tactic side of it. He didn't overdo it. With meetings and stuff, he just knew how to get good lads through the door who likes a Beckford, who probably had not a great time before. He knew if he got him through the building, he'd get the best out of him. And that's how he was. I felt like I probably played my best football under him. Yeah. So yeah, he was just good at getting good people through the door who were experienced.
Did he have to put you to the side and say, can you have a word with him? So you'd sort of have a word rather than him having to get involved?
A little bit, but not as much as, listen, he was the one that sort of made me captain. And even that was a little bit like, he never really said it. He sort of just come in and it was above my peg. So it was, that was his way of telling you, and sort of nothing got said since. So yeah.
You must have been buzzing to see that then when you walk in.
Yeah, it was sort of, it was even pre-season.
I think it was a joke or not.
Someone put it there. Yeah. Yeah. Pre-season game, it was there, and yeah, sort of never changed. So yeah, really, really thankful for that. And I think it was just how I was day to day with the lads. I was personable. I felt like I could get on with everyone. Not a shouter and baller, but sort of when I did shout, people sort of knew. I'd say more with the Alex Neil tenure. I think he was more that, listen, I need you to say that to him. Or a lot of meetings with Alex Neil where you need to sort of get this through to the group. Whereas Grayson wasn't that type.
Who did you have to shout at? You just said that you had to shout at a couple. Mainly on the pitch or in the dressing room?
Not so much. We had a really good dressing room. Yeah, I'd say over my period, it was probably more under sort of Alex Neil. Under Grayson's time, we had a lot of lads that had just sorted out themselves. Whereas sort of the new ones, your Ben Pearsons and stuff like that, who was getting booked every week, you sort of need to get into him a little bit and have a go at him, because he was our best player. We were losing him for probably 10 games a season. So,
how do you say stop getting booked every game?
Yeah, it's hard because you don't want to take that out of him, because that's how he plays so well.
Especially when you're a defender as well. There's a good chance you're going in at some point.
Yeah, no, exactly. And he was the one covering all of us as well. So yeah, you pin him up and you just tell him. Yeah, so no, yeah, but really enjoyed him. I think I was captain for what, seven years. So yeah, loved it.
Did Grayson ever get stuck into you at any point? Or any managers ever give you some stick?
I'd say there were one Alex Neil's time. I tell the lads this. We were Swansea away. My wife was having Heidi, and I was in hospital. Didn't think I'd make the Swansea game. But Heidi was born, and sort of Alex Neil rang me and said, listen, you know, I want you on the plane. You come in. I said, all right, no worries. Been in a hospital bed. McDonald's, you know, all you can eat in that period.
pretty much.
I thought, yeah, I'll travel, but I won't play. I'll just be on the bench. Got into the hotel, I'm playing. I'm like, oh my God, hospital bed, not eating great. and I'm playing right back, which is another one. So yeah, first half up against little Wayne Routledge. Yeah, very small and sharp. So yeah, first half didn't go well. He kept on swapping with Nathan Dyer. So a lot of pace. So yeah, didn't have the best half. So
must have been booked.
Yeah, give a penalty away. Did you? And yeah, so yeah, I got it at half time. I did want to say, listen, I've been in hospital bed, you know, like, but yeah, I just thought, just take it. Just take the heat and get on with it. Yeah, so it weren't the best time, but Alex Neil could give it out.
Mel's mentioned halftime team talks, but were there any sort of tactical tweaks in training or any changes in training methods that maybe you think might have made a difference?
Yeah, I think through my period of playing, I was fortunate because I came through with that old school, your Terry Yorufs, Peter Jacksons, you know, you have a fighting dressing room, you have a punch each, just really old school, and they tell you. But then it sort of drifted into sort of your Alex Neils, and who's tactically really good, you know, on one of them big TVs, is dragging you about, pulling you about. And I wish I'd have probably played under Alex a little bit younger. I think I was around 30 when he arrived. So I'd have learned so much, but it was still also good to have that little bit of old school mentality and how it was back then. So yeah, I was fortunate to sort of come through and see both, really.
I wonder, did the message ever change for certain games? Because I mentioned about scoring against Blackpool, which is a big game, a big result against our rivals. But you played in a lot of derbies, didn't you? Burnley, Blackburn. What was the message like in terms of how different it may have been for some of the team talks?
Yeah, don't lose. That was the main one. And that was just across the board of players. Players knew what it were about. And in my time, I don't feel like we had a bad period of time, you know, with the derby games. I feel like we've done really well. But that was the message throughout the group, really. Don't lose. You knew when you were stepping out the intensity of the game, the rivalry. So yeah, even new players coming in, it was drilling it into them that these games matter. And no better from me to say that when you win 1-0 against Blackpool, and you know what it's about, you get that feeling straight away.
So what was the difference, Burnley away and Blackburn away? What were they like?
Yeah, Burnley, it was obviously, they fluctuated between Premier League and Championship. So it was always a big game. Again, being fortunate to have some good results away from home.
You won at Burnley, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it was Will Keane scored. Yeah. So yeah, being fortunate to get some good results. But yeah, the message was the same from any manager I've been with, Grace and Alex Neil. It was, you can talk tactics as much as you want. I think when derby games come around, anything can happen and you've just got to go full throttle.
Do you miss that now that you're retired?
Yeah, I think even more so. I went to the Leeds Preston game and just the atmosphere. I think that was the day when I sort of sat back and thought, oh God, you know, I really do miss it. Miss them, that feeling in the tunnel, them butterflies, and just stepping out and being with your team, being with a group, and being, I was a player, just ready to run through a brick wall for the players that I played with. And I miss that, definitely.
People always say that to players. What do you miss the most? I do not miss training. Do you miss training?
No. Not there. I didn't hardly train towards the end, so I didn't miss it at all. Do miss the sort of changing room stuff. But yeah, that feeling on a Tuesday night under the lights or a Saturday, there's no better adrenaline.
Especially when you're captain as well, like the day after Sir Tom Finney died, on quite a poignant occasion like that, I suppose it means a little bit more.
Yeah, it meant everything, you know, leading the team. I hope sort of the way I trained and played, I sort of led by that example rather than, like I say, always shouting and bawling. I just hope, like I say, the hope the players knew that, you know, I'd run through a brick wall for them. And that's the feeling I sort of got. And I think that's why the fans sort of grew to me a little bit.
You actually played against your brother that day. Was it weird playing against him rather than when you were at Huddersfield, you played with him?
Again, you go back to that always try to better each other, you know, that brotherly rivalry sort of thing. So yeah, you sort of go into the referee's room, you're both captain and you sort of see each other there and sort of don't look at each other. It was pretty much try to be serious until the game was over. But yeah, to walk out together and, like you say, such a poignant day, it was, you know, unbelievable for us again.
Touched on certain games that you played in. What about competitions? What about the FA Cup? What did the FA Cup mean to you?
It meant, you know, growing up as a youngster, FA Cup were massive, and I've been, you know, lucky enough to play in some big FA Cup games, Chelsea, twice, Arsenal, Man United at Preston as well. So, yeah.
Took the lead in that game.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, great night. Yeah, so being involved in some big games, and that's what it's about, you know, for the fans to come out and experience, you know, these world-class players coming here. And
who was playing for United?
Yeah, I was going to say, who did you play against, you thought, more?
Yeah, Rooney? They were. No, yeah, Rooney was there, managed to get, he was captain, so we sort of went in together, did the referee stuff. I saw Nicky grab his shirt at the end. Yeah,
he said, before game, you're asking him for his shirt?
Yeah, yeah. he said, yeah, no worries. I said, he won't remember. Everyone's running to him. But yeah, managed to get it. Still in a draw, because don't go with furniture and stuff at house. So
because of the badge, because of the badge on it.
yeah. So yeah, Fellaini. Yeah, try to look through his hair to get to the ball. and Di Maria. Yeah, they played a strong team, which just shows, you know, the respect that they had for us, and took them all the way. Really, unfortunately, we couldn't. But again, them atmospheres, your Blackpools, your, when the fans do come out and make some noise, it's some place to be.
P&E Pod, the official Preston North End podcast. P&E Pod, the official podcast of the one and only Preston North End.
Transfers are always a big talking point, aren't they? And you've gone from Huddersfield to Preston. Any clubs sort of that have come in for you that you've turned down maybe to?
No, not that I can think back of. Listen, there were a few rumours and stuff like that, but never anything concrete. I think Chef Wednesday were one that were pretty close. But I think there were two or three that they were interested in. But it took a lot to sort of leave. Like I say, I loved my time there. I was playing, I was captain. And I wish I could have stayed there my whole career. It didn't work out like that.
What about P&E though? Because obviously you were flying, doing really well. Was the club sort of sniffing about, trying to take you away at that time or not?
From Preston?
Yeah.
Like I say, I think there was just one, Sheffield. But other than that, no. Yeah, like I say, it'd have been a tough decision to make. Everything that was happening at Preston, I enjoyed, and I was doing well, I was playing well, and I was sort of comfortable in that environment.
How do you reflect on leaving then? So you left after 7 years in 2020, yeah. And obviously we're in the middle of COVID at this point, no fans in stadiums. It comes to the summer and it's time to say goodbye. So that must have felt a bit strange, not able to have that goodbye with the fans.
Yeah, it was difficult, really difficult. It was a strange time, obviously, for everyone. COVID hit. Championship football went back and played. So we went back for sort of a mini pre-season, did that. The sort of club and my agent was sort of speaking, but then sort of talks went a little bit quiet, and it was a case of sitting down with Alex Neil and sort of seeing where we was at. And I sort of had to think about long term, really. You know, I had a lot of injuries that I just spoke about, and it was a case of trying to prolong my career, and with Preston sort of umming and ahhing whether to do anything. You know, having to go out there and maybe, you know, spoke about the injuries that I've had, something to happen, and Preston not offering me out and not being able to go anywhere else. It was a very difficult period of time. I sat down with my family, just tried to make the best decision for us. We had a young family, and the best thing for me to prolong my career, really. And that was the sort of decision that I made.
You got loads of messages though, didn't you? When it came out that you were going to leave Deepdale, that must have been quite emotional for you.
Yeah, ridiculous. Like I say, the fans have been absolutely brilliant with me. I can't thank them enough. You know, best period of my time's been there. My kids sort of growing up and seeing me play there. So it weren't an easy decision. Sat in the room a lot thinking and debating what to do, because it weren't a case of me holding out for a better club to come in. It was a case of, can I prolong my career for an extra 3 years, which I did, knowing that my knee wasn't great. And that was the sort of decision I wanted to go down. I didn't want to be at Preston and outstay my welcome and be someone that's, you know, not playing. And I just didn't want it to end like that.
When you have gone back to Deepdale as a non-Preston player, what's it been like?
Yeah, just ridiculous. Like, the fans have been brilliant. Like I say, the welcome that they gave me. Ben Rhodes, while I was at Fleetwood, sort of rang me and sort of said, you know, obviously it happened during COVID, we'd love to get you back and get a real send off, which he did against Liverpool, which were brilliant. I was able to bring my little girl on the pitch and my wife and yeah, sort of got a real send off, which I'm very thankful for Ben to do and the club to do. I got to say sort of bye and thank you.
In September, you got told on medical advice that it was probably time to stop playing. Did you kind of know that day was coming, and what did the surgeon say to you?
Yeah, it was a case. Obviously, I signed for Halifax. Obviously, I was getting injections, you know, Jacko. I was getting injections left, right and centre at Preston.
Living on anti-inflams.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So, and I weren't in a great shape when I was playing every week. It was just a case of it got to me at that point at Halifax. And obviously, no disrespect to Halifax, the facilities aren't what they are elsewhere, like you say, at Preston and stuff. So to get the aftercare and stuff is difficult. And yeah, it just happened in a game, felt a bit of a click in my knee. That click's not gone ever since. So yeah, I went to see a surgeon, and sort of where it is, the cartilage is obviously none there, but the last little bit is just clicking out of the joint and popping back in. So it was a case of, do you want surgery and sort of be out a year? Or you're 35 and you've played sort of 500 odd games, you just want to call it a day and be able to sort of walk and play with your kids. So yeah, sort of took that decision with him sort of pushing me towards it. So yeah, difficult day, but sort of knew it was always going to happen at some point.
How many surgeries did you end up having?
On that knee, probably about 3-4. A lot of clean outs and stuff, but and that was sort of, now it was, you play a game and you sort of knee'd swell up double.
I had 90 mil drained off a knee before a game once.
I thought you were going to say you had 90 surgeries. I said you had a lot of injuries, but that's ridiculous.
No, but we're talking about injuries, and obviously it affects a lot of players, but the similar sort of area that was suffered in the knee. But yeah. I remember getting 90 mil drained. My knee, I couldn't even bend my knee 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Doc's took 90 mil out and he's gone, you can still play. And I'm like, I can barely walk.
How difficult is that?
What's difficult is no one knows you're injured. No. So you're there. Why is he not playing well? Right. And,
yeah.
and some of your teammates aren't even aware of it. You're thinking... Mentally, yeah, you're thinking, God, I'm struggling there.
Hmm.
But everyone's judging you as if you like everything's okay. And a lot of players are struggling through these games, and you know, you've experienced that as well. And it is really tough mentally to be able to think, I'm better than this.
Yeah.
God, my body's letting me down, but I am better than this. And that's a big frustration that obviously you must have experienced as well.
Yeah, and sort of towards the end, like I said, I'd done my Achilles, and I was at Preston, I was the captain, I was the leader. And for me, a leader is you're out there every week, you play, and I weren't able to do that. So mentally, that really frustrated me. And then sort of towards the end at Halifax and stuff like that, and I'm like you said, I'm better than this. Why aren't I able to do the things I was doing? And it was just down to not being able to physically and to mentally do that week in, week out. It's very difficult because then for me anyway, personally, you do take that home, and it does affect your family, and you are frustrated and your moods are constantly up and down and your knee's swollen, so you're down. And it took a real toll probably on everyone. So to get out of that was a relief. To get out of that mind frame definitely was a relief, yeah.
I don't think any player really wants to think about retirement, but did you ever have any thoughts about what you might do after your playing days were finished? Were you thinking about that in the final few seasons maybe?
So towards the end at Fleetwood, I was doing my badges, but it just seemed like everybody was doing the badges, and that was the thing to do. Mm. Luckily, sort of at my time at Preston, sort of I was able to sort of invest a little bit and sort of give me that little bit of leeway when I did retire and not panic and think, oh my God, where now? So I've been able to sort of just step back and sort of take my time and process it all, you know, that you won't be going to train day in, day out and sort of just spend a little bit of time with my family. I spoke to you sort of before, 8-year-old and 5-year-old, and my youngest is autistic. So we're finding that really difficult as a family to deal with. So to be at home and be present and being around is amazing. All the things.
Watch Peppa Pig with him. Is that still rocking these days?
Yeah, still rocking. Yeah, my 5-year-old still.
Watch it. Yeah.
I did sit there one time and no one were in the room and I'm just watching it. So yeah, it's very strange. But yeah, he's massive on Peppa Pig. So yeah, and 8-year-olds wearing makeup and doing all that now. So yeah, it goes quick. So try to enjoy it as much as I can, but also try and keep as busy as possible.
It's funny, I found the other day a couple of North End shirts from sort of my last few years there, and got Daddy 33 on the back, and like thinking, God, look how small they are.
Yeah.
But nice memories. So when you've had, obviously, the kids there going around the pitch as well.
Nice memories. Time flies, doesn't it? And especially when you're having fun and enjoying it, it goes too quick. And you know, if close my eyes, I wish I'd be we sort of back and starting my time again.
Mel's was on about some of the old Preston kits. Have you kept anything from your career?
Yeah, my dad, yeah, kept it all, programs and shirts. And yeah, like I say, at the minute.
You never asked for my shirt.
yeah, all in a draw though, not good enough to sort of put up yet while we get my little man cave sorted. So that'll be all getting put up. But yeah, got shirts that we sort of played against, Nathan against, and the Joe Garners and Beckfords, and yeah, some really good shirts and Rooney's, and yeah, really fortunate to sort of look back at them and some great memories.
Off the back of that then, let's do some quick fire questions.
Yep.
What is the best P&E kit of all time?
I like the yellow one, away one, for some reason.
There's a really good photo of you, actually.
We always played well in it.
I can't remember which team it was, but you scored. But there's a great photo of you, like, screaming into the camera in that yellow kit.
Yeah, I think it was Cove away. Yeah. I don't know why that's sprung to mind, but I always feel like we've done well in it, in that kit. So, yeah, that sort of stuck in my head, that.
Favourite cheat meal after a game?
I'd say pizza. Yeah, nice, easy. It was summer. You probably know it.
Domino's. Domino's.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm boring. Plain Jane. Yeah. Margarita. Nice and simple.
Dip it in some sauce or just plain?
No, dry. Oh.
That is boring. What about a chippy? Because sometimes you'd get a chippy. Would you just get chips on its own? No salt and vinegar?
No. Yeah.
He's not that
I'd be daring a little bit on fish and chips. But yeah, more so sort of Fleetwood, that, yeah, you got some good ones around
great
there.
Chippy there.
Yeah, great chippy, yeah. So as soon as game had done, nip there.
Was there an opponent or a team where you went, we always struggle?
Who did you look forward to playing the most? Who's thinking, can't wait to play these, we'll beat these?
Probably the derby games. Like I said before, I'd always had a good time against sort of the derby games. So likes of the Blackburns and stuff like that. It was, you couldn't not get up for them and be excited for sort of them games, especially away. We always done well.
Do you have a favourite away ground?
So growing up, it'd be a weird one this, but my granddad were from Aston. So I always got brought up with Villa, my dad and Southgate and all that lot. So we obviously, to play at Villa's ground, very iconic old ground. They used to play the semis and finals there. So yeah, to play there was brilliant. My granddad was there and my dad. So that was a stadium that always stuck out, and obviously Wembley as well.
What goal did you celebrate the most that wasn't yours?
I'd say the fourth at Wembley, because that then got me thinking about the steps and walking up and lifting it, and that enjoyment and that relief of that. Because all my time at Preston, it was, Preston never winning playoffs. That was just, especially when we'd
rubbing
lost
it
at
in.
Colchester.
Rubbing it in,
lost
the playoff chairs.
We never winning playoffs, and that's all I was hearing. And so many interviews of, well, this is a, sort of a different team, and we've not been brought up. I've been successful in playoffs, so we brought that mentality in, and thankfully we did it. And so probably that.
was there ever an opponent? I wasn't that sort of player, but it was like talking to you during the game. Do you know when you're thinking, what's he on about?
Oh, asking you what you have on your pizza.
Yeah, just sort of.
Do you know one? And I played with him a lot, but Joe Garner was always one of them that whenever I played against him, I always found it difficult. He was small but good in the air, always willing to give you a little elbow. I enjoyed that, but the more you sort of riled him up, the better he got. So it was one of them. Do you leave him alone? So he was a difficult opponent.
Referees? Like them, not like them, get in trouble much, booked for dissent?
You know what? I weren't too bad. Only probably got in 500 odd games, 3 sendings off. So I weren't too bad. And
3 too many, some might say.
Yeah. I always sort of prided myself on you know, timing the tackles, and not, you know, I was never aggressive. And yeah, there were one story with Jordan Hugel. He was at Middlesbrough. He was obviously Preston's been together for a while. And he just had his teeth done, so nice, sorted out. So he was in the hotel, and I was like, listen, they're coming off. I'm going to elbow them. And he's like, oh, I'm going to break your nose then, because it was already a little bit broke. He says, I'm going to send it further. So first header pops up, catches me, done it, broke my nose straight away, didn't get near his gleaming teeth.
He got away with it, he didn't get bumps or anything?
No, clever. Very clever, which is not like Jordan Lugle. Broke my nose and was out for a mask ever since. So yeah, that's, not really that aggressive, really.
All right, final one then. If you could sum up your time at P&E in a sentence or even a word, what would it be?
magical. Everything from start to finish, if you could have told me it was would have happened like it did, I'd have bit your hand off, especially with the injuries that I had before. To sort of do 7 years and play the games that I did and sort of banged them out, the promotions, the big games of the FA Cups, and just some great memories, best footballing time period, full stop, yeah.
Who put the ball in the Blackpool net?
Super Tommy Clark did.
P&E Pod, the official podcast of Preston North End. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search P&E Pod.
Sports Social Podcast Network.